Good morning, everybody. Oh, this is even on. Nice. Today's 5-minute foundation is about overcoming temptation, but in so many ways, it's really more about avoiding temptation, because really that is our best way to overcome it. And what we're doing today is one of the beautiful ways we can do that, is concentrating on the Lord and worshiping Him. That's one of the best ways to avoid temptation, is be filling ourselves with this instead of that. So temptation, though, is an enticement to sin, to disobedience. And the source of temptation is the world and the flesh, and ultimately Satan himself. So everyone's tempted. Well, even Jesus was tempted. He spent 40 days being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And the difference is Jesus, of course, did not give in to temptation. But temptation itself is not sin. However, it does typically or often lead to sin. So Hebrews 4:15 tells us that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. So the keys to overcoming temptation, we have four A's as in this outline. And the first A is avoidance, as I mentioned earlier. And there are two ways to avoid temptation. The first is to stay away from things that you know are weaknesses for you. Those of us prone to gluttony might be wise to minimize the time we spend in a bakery, for example. And don't be like the little boy who knows he's not supposed to get a cookie, but he keeps walking by the cookie jar and looking at it longingly. He might even open it once in a while to get a little smell of the cookies. How much wiser would it be for him to go outside and play and put his mind on other things? Our thought life is arguably the most private part of our being. Don't dwell on thoughts that cause temptation, but avoid those thoughts. For example, unfortunately, I don't think they're there today, but if I told you not to think about the deer on the hillside over there, what are we all thinking about? I am trusting that's not a sinful thought. Even during the best of pastor sermons, I might find myself thinking about the deer on the hill on occasion. Sorry, pastor. But if a thought or situation causes temptation for you, don't go there in the first place. Don't dwell on it. There's nothing virtuous about seeing how much temptation you can bear. Frankly, it is foolishness. Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:8 to instead meditate on things that are true, noble, pure, and full of virtue. The other type of avoidance is to flee. Get out of there. Sometimes temptation is thrust upon us and we are caught by surprise. Now is the time to put on your running shoes. Check that. Don't take the time to put on your running shoes. Now is the time to just run, follow Joseph's example, and flee from it. When tempted by Potiphar's wife, Joseph didn't even take the time to recover his coat. He just fled. On a side note, there are commentators who surmise that Potiphar believed Joseph. He could have had Joseph executed. To save face, he had to do something, but he put Joseph in prison rather than having him killed. Joseph's character may very well have saved his life. 2 Timothy 2:22 tells us to flee also from youthful lusts. As good an example as Joseph's story is, it's important to note that not all lust is sexual in nature. We can lust after all sorts of things: money, power, influence, recognition. These aren't evil in and of themselves, but to lust after them risks making them more important than God in your life, which of course is wrong. And we are told to flee lust and resist the devil. But often we resist lust and flee the devil. How wrong that is. The second A is adoration, which is again what we were doing. Use temptation as a springboard into worship. Don't just grind it out, but replace the tempting thoughts with good thoughts. I refer you again to Philippians 4:8. Worship and praising God are fantastic ways to put Paul's admonition into practice, when he said, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, like the deer on the hillside, whatever things are good, are of good report, if there's anything virtuous or praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And the third A is assistance. Go to Jesus. Hebrews 4:14 and 16 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. As I mentioned earlier, it is foolishness to go it alone and see how much we can bear, especially when we have Jesus himself to hold on to. I implore you, my friends, when you are tempted, run to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And the fourth A is accountability. Get others involved. James 5:16 admonishes us to confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that we may be healed. I'm not going to lie, this can be tough. I have a friend to whom I confess my sins and my weaknesses, and it can be hard to admit my shortcomings. But oh, how wonderful it is to have him pray for me without judgment and remind me that Christ has already covered my sins and failures, past, present, and future. And finally, my prayer for you and for myself is that you will know victory over sin and temptation through Christ Jesus himself.
Amen. Thank you, Ray. Let's stand. Let's just give one more time to sing.
Today, Father, we lift you up. Lord, we thank you that your word, sister Jesus, said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And we know you were lifted up on the cross, but we also lift up your wonderful name today, Father. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your help. Thank you for all that you provide so abundantly in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you this morning, those of you who prayed for me this week. It was a rough week. Oh, man. Thank God for my wife, who was willing to take care of her big baby at home. She's very good to me. But thank you for your prayers. Really appreciate everyone that helped, especially last weekend. Brother Tom kind of got dropped into the black hole of everything. So appreciate everything that everyone did to help with that. I have just a little bit of family business that I would like to talk with you about this morning. Family as in church family. And I want to be discreet in this, but I want to share with you a little bit about our brother and sister Kevin and Roxanne Cobb. Many of you may know that Kevin has been going through a very difficult time again and some instability in his life, and things have come, kind of came to a head. And Kevin will not be with us for some time. And it's been very difficult for our sister Roxanne. She's not here today. She had someplace she needed to be. She'll be here with us next week. But can I ask a favor of you? When she comes, can you not ask her any questions? Can you just support her and love her and encourage her? But don't ask. Just don't ask. Probably better to leave that lie. And in her time, she'll be able to share, but it's been difficult, and she doesn't want to have to explain, and I think you understand. So, but please keep them in prayer this week. A lot going on, and Roxanne really needs God's grace in this season. So, if you would, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are the God that untangles every mess. God, when we get in a mess, you come and you untangle it, you help us. Father and God, you know that we have each gotten ourselves into all kinds of messes, and of our own fault and our own, sometimes of our own choosing and sometimes not. But we pray that you would help Roxanne and Kevin, Lord, in this hour, that your hand and your grace would be on them, that you would untangle everything that needs to be untangled, that you would bring order and balance. And Father, I pray that, especially for Roxanne today, that you would bring peace and comfort to her heart, that you would help her. Father, where Kevin is today, I pray that you would bring him into a place where he can be sure-footed in his life, and that you would help him and give him your grace. And we thank you that you are able. Thank you, Father, that you are able. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. We are going to, Jaseel didn't know that, but we are going to have a little get-together at the end in your honor. Jaseel appeared here 3 months ago? Almost 4 months ago, appeared. Jaseel was from Venezuela to Colombia to Florida to Wellsville. What a route, man. sad to say, this is Jaseel's, will be his last Sunday with us. He says for now, because he's threatening that he says, I'm going to come back. My brother, you are welcome any time. You've been a delight. Sad to say that this will be his last Sunday, but the exciting news is that Jaseel is coming to share the word with us this morning. I didn't know that this brother had ministerial training. And my brother.
Thank you, Pastor. Hello, guys. How you doing? Doing great, huh? You guys are beautiful, but from here you look even better, huh? Got to tell you that. Give me one second. Let me just get ready, okay? Yeah, I've been here for 4 months, almost. The way I found this church is, it was an easy way. Google, right? Just went to Google, wasn't my hotel, so okay, God, I need a church, right? So for those of you that doesn't know, I just go from one place to the other, and I start projects. That's what I do. And then whenever the project is done or I'm ready to go, I just move to a different project. So this project was different because it usually takes me probably 2 to 3 weeks to get everything done, and then I can just go move to a different project, go back home for a few days. This is a warehouse project, so it's going to take probably 2 to 3 years to finish the whole project. I guess the whole contract. So I was supposed to be here for no more than 90 days. I mean, I'm past due, right? Already. So I came to this church, and I loved it since I stepped into that door, because I can feel God's love. And when I got here, I said, okay, God, I'm here. Let's see what's going to happen. I remember Pastor Dave, he approached me and said, I'm Pastor Dave. And I'm there. Yeah, I'm Jaseel. How about that? Jaseel. It's a tough name, even in Spanish. That name is coming from the Bible, right? So in Spanish, when you say J, it sounds like an H. So you say Jaseel. But when you're in English, right, I must say Jaseel because it's a Z, so it's Jaseel, right? So next Sunday, I came back. And I would say probably 90% of the people knew my name. And they saw me, called me, hey, Jaseel, how you doing? Welcome back. I'm like, whoa, this is nice. I like this church, right? First time ever, even in my Spanish-speaking church back home in Venezuela and Colombia and some other places that I've been, it's hard to find that. And that's when I realized this is the church that God wants me to be planted here at Wellsville. And I really want to thank you, Pastor Dave, and I really want to thank you, you guys, because these 4 months that I've been here without my family, it has been difficult, but rewarding, because you guys are part of my life now. I really want to thank you. And you have changed my life and my family's life. Even though you don't know my family, they were here probably, I think, 2 or 3 times. But Pastor Dave and Tom, they know my family, Curtis as well. And they are really thankful and grateful to God and to you, because the way you have accepted me here, like, it's like I couldn't even put it in words, you know, and I really thank you, right? So the message that I have is going to take 20 minutes. But this is what God has put in my heart. And I think, it's not that I think, it's going to happen. I believe it in the name of Jesus Christ. This church is going to be a huge part of what's coming from Wellsville. And you guys are going to be a part of it if you're willing to pay the price. If you're willing to pay the price. Because it's not enough to believe it. We got to be intentional. We got to make sure that we have to do what God told us to do in order to create an impact in people that are out there ready to listen to what God has to tell them. But we are the instruments that God wants to use. So like Pastor Dave said, I'm from Venezuela. And my journey, so I left my country 10 years ago with my family. So I thought the reason why I was leaving my country, it was because of the government. Even though I had a great job, I used to work offshore for more than 10 years. So I was making U.S. dollars living in Venezuela. So imagine that. I had a great job. And we were wealthy back home. But I thought, you know what, I'm leaving. I can't take this anymore. And that was my only reason why I left. We left to Colombia. And guess what? God had a different plan. He said, well, now you're here. Now you're out of your comfort zone. Now you're mine. Now your family is mine. Now you're going to understand the journey that you're going to go through in order to change lives. I'm going to use you. I'm going to use your family. But it's going to hurt. And if you're not willing, I'm telling you, by the end of that journey, you will. So we started going to this church, and God started popping. I mean, things happened. Started happening in my marriage, my kids, and everything started to change. After probably 6 months that we moved to Colombia, I lost my job. Right? I'm like, okay, cool. Nice. Then they gave me quite a bit of money. I had a company in Colombia. And the first year it was great. We were having Colombia is a great country as well. I have family there, I have friends there, and I found a great church to be part of as well. Then after probably a year, everything stopped in Colombia. Everything went down. I'm like, okay, God, cool. Now what? So then I was praying. I heard God, you know what? You're going back to the U.S. I'm not going back to the U.S. So for those of you that don't know, I was here when I was 11 years old. I was living in Tennessee. And because of the job that I used to have, I used to crew change out of Louisiana and Texas. And I knew this. I know the system. I love this country, but the system is different. And now that I have my family, got my kids, I'm like, God, I just don't want to put my family in that situation. I just don't. And guys, I'm telling you, you have to go to the U.S. again. I'm like, no, I'm not going. So of course, God doesn't care. He does not care. Then after a year. And when I say everything pretty much vanished, everything stopped. I was broke. When I say broke, like zero. And God is like, that was December 21st, 2016. And God is like, okay, it's time for you to go. Are you going to go or you still going to wait another year or so? I'm leaving now. I'm leaving. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's time for me to go and go back to the U.S. So that's 10 years ago. And it's been a great journey. It has been a great journey. And now that I'm standing here, like, right in front of you, I can say it's worth it. It has been worth it. I mean, even though it has been hard, and I still got to face a lot of challenges, but I know that God is going to equip me and my family in order to get wherever He wants me to go. And He's going to do the same thing for you guys. And even though my journey is difficult on yours, God has something in store for you. But not only for you guys, so you can share, you can cause, you can be that, you can be impactful to that person next to you, to that co-worker, to that bank teller, to that cashier. Wherever you go, you are going to be responsible for that person, so that person can hear what she or he needs to hear. So I'm just going to, like I said, 20 minutes. And one of the things that I learned during my journey is that I got to be intentional. I got to be intentional. Galatians 6:9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't give up. You know, that's me. I'm talking about me. I've given up so many times. So many times. Because I think it's hard. I think I won't be able to make it. But guess what? I won't be able to make it if God is not with me. But if I let God do whatever He has to do in order for me to just to keep going, I'll be able to make it. We're going to be able to make it. And I'm sorry, but I forgot to tell you the name of the message. So it says, keep going and stay strong. Keep going and stay strong. Do not wait to be strong to keep going. The order, it matters. So when you're intentional, it means that you're going to do it no matter what. It means that it doesn't matter if you feel like you don't want to send a text, you don't want to call, you don't want to show up, you don't want to be a blessing. You are going to be intentional in order to do what you have been called to do. It's not about feelings. It's not about, I don't feel like talking to Tom today because he's not wearing a jacket, so I'm not talking to him. Probably tomorrow. No. Oh, the other thing is, I don't know. I don't have the time to send a text to Pastor Dave because, you know, I just don't have the time. But I can probably have the time to watch TV or be on, I don't know, my phone for probably hours, right? So we need to be intentional. And the great thing about it, we don't do it because we are actually expecting something, but we are going to receive no more than what we need. We're going to receive more than what we are expecting to receive. Yeah, I've been here for 4 months, and it, for me, it's really sad. When they call me and say, you know what, you're ready, you're leaving next week, I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, it's nice. I get to go home. But it's so crazy. I told Tom, my wife called me, and she's like, you know what? If they offer you that position in Wellsville, I'm ready to move. I'll go to Wellsville. Why not? Yeah. I'm like, really? Oh, yeah. I don't mind. So imagine You know, getting that phone call from my boss telling me, hey, it's time for you to just move on from the game of basketball, like Michael Jordan said, right? I'm like, okay. So, yeah, you'll be there until Friday. You have to fly back home on Friday. So I'm like, okay, I'm flying back home. So I was sad. But then, on the other hand, the guy that has been with me since the beginning of this project, he got the job. So now he's a local, now he's a manager, and he got the job because I was the one that trained him. I told him, if you are ready to learn what you have to learn, I'm willing to teach you. And when they asked me, is that guy ready to go? I said, he's ready to go. He's rolling. And he got the job, and he was really excited. And he told me, hey, thank you. Because you didn't have to do what you just did, but you did it because you want me to get the job. So the first thing, we got to be intentional. So if you want to be that person that is ready to impact people's life, you have to be intentional. Second thing, be helpful. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. You know, like probably back, I would say probably 20 years ago, I used to tell my wife, I have this blacklist. That was me, UCL, right here, 20 years ago. And I'm like, that person is in my blacklist. Yeah, he did something wrong to me, so I helped him once. He didn't accept my help, so this time, you know what? He's in my blacklist. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not. And my wife's like, you can't do that. Oh, yes, I can. That's my list. That's my blacklist. You can't tell me what to do on a blacklist, right? And you know what happened to that blacklist? He's gone. He's gone. Because God showed me a better way to be a blessing for people, for people to be helpful. To understand that it doesn't matter if I offer help and that person is not willing to accept my help, I'll be there to say, you know what, you still got my help. Is there anything that I can do for you? I'm willing to do it. Is there anything that we can do for this town, for Wellsville? Are you guys willing to do it? And that's not for me to know. It's for you guys to understand that what's coming for this church involves you. But if you're not willing to be helpful, God is going to use someone else. And probably in these 20 minutes that I have, God has been just ordering everything in my life and my family's life, which for me, it has been tough. It has been tough. You know, if you can't imagine being an immigrant is not easy, right? And then being with your family, I would say probably it's just more difficult, right? But here with you guys, being part of your family, being part of this church, like I've told Tom and Pastor Dave and Judy, it has been worth it. Get to know you guys, to get to spend time with you, and to understand that I know you're going to be there for me and my family. And I know you are going to be there for the people out there as well. Because you are going to be intentional. Because you are willing to be helpful as well. And my last point. You got to be merciful. You have to be merciful. Matthew 25:35-36 says, "For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your house. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me." I remember, I think that the second week I was here, I was about to leave, and Judy and Tom say, "Man, we want you to come to our place. We're going to cook for you." And I'm like, cool. Yeah, sounds great, right? I love it. That's all my family is coming. They're like, "Oh, that's great. Then we can have your family as well." Do it. It's gonna be just fine. Let's do it. So that was on Thursday. I even remember the day. It was so impactful for me. And we got there and we started talking. Curtis was there. And they started talking, started asking me questions about what was my immigration status. And if you go down to Orlando, that's something that you don't talk about. You just don't want to know. That's not my problem. I don't care. You do. I mean, that's your status. It is mine, right? But I was surprised that was the first thing that Curry asked. I'm like, we spoke about it, and he said, "You know what? I'm gonna pray for you." But I thought he was gonna pray after. That after, you know, dinner, and he's like, "No, we're going to pray now." And that was Curry showing mercy to me and my family. He prayed. And for these, let's say the first 4 months, you know, it has been tough, all the what's happening here in the U.S. But Curry's showing mercy to me and my family really changed my life. You know, when you're merciful, you can change people's lives. It matters a matter of minutes. To a supermarket giant and you say, "Good morning, how you doing?" And you check that tag, the name tag, that person. Say, "How you doing, John?" You'll see that everything changes. We start talking and that person starts realizing that you really care, that you are being intentional, want to be helpful, then you'll be merciful as well. Even if they don't even know it, they will feel it. And that's how we change people's lives. And if we change people's lives, we can change families. We can change towns. We can change cities. We can change countries. I'm telling you this morning, God is willing to do it. Now, God's question to you, are you willing to do it? Are you willing to be intentional? Are you willing to leave everything to be helpful and be merciful? God, since the beginning, 4 months ago. I love this church, and I love you guys. Each one of you. And it's really, really hurts to go back home. Even though I'm going back home, I'll be with my family. Because God planted me here. This is really weird to explain. I just can't explain it. But that's the way God works. And the message and the word that I have for you. It's like this church, I believe, is going to change Wellsville. And I told Pastor Dave, I promise you I'm coming back. But I know by the time I come back, things are going to be different. Wellsville is going to be different. This church is going to be different. Families are going to be different. Because we are willing to do what God wants us to do. It's time to understand that it's not about what I want. It's not about my feelings. It's not about how I feel, my dreams. No. It's about what God has for us. It's about what God wants us to do. Don't ask questions. If God puts something in your heart, just do it. Something so simple, say hello. Good morning, how you doing? Are you okay? That's simple. You know, you don't have to go and, you know, buy dinner. Even if you want to do that, do it. That'll be great. God has given you talents and gifts so you can fulfill the purpose of God. Not yours. God's purpose. People that knows me, I love to cook. If I love to cook, that means I love to eat. And one of the things that I do, and this is something that I do because I love to serve. And that's how I show love for people, cooking for people. And when I'm back home, I always, we used to live in this tiny apartment. And we used to pray, God, I need something bigger because I want something bigger for the people to come and show up so I can cook for them. And then we moved to a bigger apartment. My God, this is not big enough. I need something bigger. Now we have a bigger apartment. We're a balcony that I'll say we can feed 20 people there. But that's not big enough. I want a house now. And I believe that God's going to give me that house. Not because I want to live in a bigger house. I want to have a bigger home for my family. No, that's part of it. But that's not my main objective. Is that I want to fulfill God's purpose. So I know how to cook. So Latinos, when we eat. But then we are willing to listen as well. To my house, I know that something is going to happen. Not because it's me, not because it's my family. It's because food will be good, right? And they've heard that God is willing to talk to them through me or my family. But you know what? I'm willing to do it. So when I cook for people, that's one thing that I don't do. I pay for everything. Why? Because that's my seat in the ground. And probably you don't know how to cook. Or probably you know how to... Or probably you know how to do something that you know. I don't know. Probably you speak French and you can... Or you play a play the guitar or the piano or I don't know. But God is going to use you if you're willing. If you're willing. If we don't have the Holy Spirit with us, it's impossible. We can't do anything. And if you feel like you really, really, really want to do what God wants you to do, just tell the Holy Spirit right there. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you. I'm willing to do it. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. Probably have that person right in front of me, and I think I don't have the right words, but I'm willing to open my mouth, and I know you'll put those words in my mouth. I'm willing to do what it takes to be a part of what you want to do here in Wellsville. You know, God, you know what? God is willing to use you. God is going to use you. This church has been a blessing for me and my family. They have changed my life without even knowing they were changing my life. I pray for this church, which is my church. Church that I've been planted here in Wellsville. And I thank you for each one of my brothers and sisters. Because you're going to show them where to go, how to say things, when to walk, when to stop, when to run. But now they're going to do it, not because they're going to feel strong, and then they're going to keep going. They're going to keep going because they know that you are with them. Thank you because you're going to talk to them. Tell them exactly what you want them to do. And they are willing to do it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I just want to thank you. Like I told Pastor Dave, I'm leaving next week. Time that I come back, it won't be. I don't know what's gonna happen, but you get to meet my family. You get to meet my family. I've been married for 22 years now. My daughter is 21, and my son is 16. But it's been great to meet you. I love you guys. I really love you. And I'll be back. I'll terminate.
Intentional, helpful, and merciful. One thing I've noticed about my brother Jaziel, he is intentional, he's very helpful, and he is merciful. I'd like to send him off with prayer. So if you'd like to come and pray with Jaziel, would you come up now? I'd like to lay hands on him and believe God that he won't just leave, but God will propel him into the next thing.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that word. Intentional, helpful, and merciful. Meditate on that this week. Keep that in your heart. We're going to transition to fellowship time. Please make sure you get to say hi to Jaziel one last time while he's still here. We're going to move into food. And let's take a moment and pray over our food. Father, we thank you for your provision. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for fellowship. And we thank you for the wonderful body of Christ. How every part, Lord, your plan is so perfect. Bless our fellowship today. Bless our food. We give you thanks for all of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you can feel free to stay for a few minutes. If you're here today and you need prayer, someone will be here to pray for you. For any physical, spiritual needs that you have. Believe in God to move. Otherwise, we're going to set up for lunch. God bless you. Thanks.